Well, good morning, MCC. I hope you had an awesome weekend, and perhaps some of it was spent here with us at our Fall Festival for the Community yesterday. If so, thank you for your help and your attendance and those who planned and prepared all that. Let me take a side note real quick. Many of you have asked, are we going to be doing anything to help the relief efforts from the hurricanes over on the East Coast? The answer is yes. Pastor Jeff attended a church for several years there in Richmond, Virginia, and has contacts there. My former youth pastor is now a minister in North Carolina, and as you know, they've been hit very hard. And we are in communications with them about a specific help or need that we can maybe give some relief to, as opposed to just giving to a group. Now, there's nothing wrong with our groups that we try to help. IDES is a great disaster relief organization, Red Cross and others. But if we have a church or some families in a church somewhere that we know that we can help specifically, that's what we want to do first. Does that make sense? In talking to them, however, they said, we have no idea what kind of help we need. They're still waiting for the water to go away. And so as soon as they have time to assess everything going on and the needs that are there, they will certainly let us know. And we will be coming to you, as Paul did, the churches around the area, to take an offering for a collection to the folks who had need in Jerusalem. We will do the same for those folk on the East Coast. So you be praying about how God can help you as we reach out to you a little more in the future. Okay? Well, I'm glad you've chosen to start your new week with us as we continue in our series on the Ten Commandments, Love Carved in Stone. God loves us so much that He used His own finger and carved these timeless truths and treasures in stone. If you have your Bible this morning or your Bible app on your phone, I want to invite you to open it to Exodus chapter 20. And as you're turning to that, I want to start off by just asking a few questions, and I want you to answer these honestly, okay? The first one is this. Do you ever get tired just thinking about everything you have to get done? How about this? Do you ever walk into work on Monday just as tired as when you walked out on Friday? Or do you ever feel guilty if you check or if you don't check your email for just one day? Do you ever feel guilty for taking a day off? And when you do you ever feel pressure to work on your day off? If you answered yes to any of those questions, this message is for you. And don't feel bad, this message is for me too, because I've answered yes to those questions at different seasons in my life. A recent study by the Society of Human Resources found that 70% of us feel we need to extend our work over all 7 days of the week. And maybe that's where you're at today. Some of you may be thinking, well, gee, Pastor David, what would you know about that? You only work one day a week. Yeah, but I work every weekend. And there's no pressure for me working with good people all the time. Well, not exactly. But the greatest pressure and the time pressure that I feel is what I'm doing right now. Every Monday morning, Pastor Jeff and I will spend a few moments sharing our thoughts on the services the day before. Good things, bad things, things we did well, things we could have done better, things we should never have done or said. And then we have this urgent leading that says, you have 5 days to be ready to do it again. 5 days to prepare a message for a couple of hundred people and a few others who will listen online. And boy, it better be good. Sometimes people's eternity depends on it. And it's not just me and Pastor Jeff or Carol with our kids back in junior church. It's all of us. And it doesn't matter if you're a student or you're a teacher. It doesn't matter if you work for the government or if you own a small business. It doesn't matter if you are an employee working out there somewhere or if you're a stay-at-home mom. All of us sometimes feel like there's more to do and there's not enough time to get it all done. As a result, most of us would describe our lives at times as restless. And if you peel back the onion on why many of us feel restless, I think this is what you'll find underneath. Restlessness is often rooted in the fear of falling behind or the fear of someone else getting ahead of you. You may be fighting those fears right now. Some of you at work, am I doing enough to keep my job? Am I doing enough to get a raise? Enough to get a promotion? Some of you at school, am I keeping up with my grades enough to get a higher GPA for college? Some of you at home, am I doing enough to keep my spouse happy? Some of you as a parent, am I doing enough, giving enough to give my child the resume they're going to need in this world today? And today it's not just a GPA. It's sports and clubs and dance and gymnastics and piano and on and on and on. Some of you are small business owners. And wow, the stress you feel. Insurance, competition, revenue streams, profit and loss, capital improvements, dependable employees who will just show up for work. Those are just a few of your day-to-day concerns. We all face these fears, yet if we step back from it all and look at it from a higher perspective, I think we could argue that it's a little bit odd that we feel so much restlessness. And here's why. We now live in the richest society that has ever existed in the history of the world, and yet sometimes wonder if we have enough. We live longer now than any other culture since Old Testament times. We have more time-saving devices than ever before. We can find answers in seconds that used to take days just by using Google or YouTube. Some of these things we have today were science fiction just 20 years ago. Yet we still feel this restlessness. What's behind all this? I think one of the main issues most of us struggle with is we have completely disregarded this fourth commandment. We look at the Ten Commandments, and yet most people operate as if there are only nine that are relevant today. Now, I want to remind you, everybody listen, I want to remind you, as we continue throughout this series, we don't follow the Ten Commandments today for salvation. Salvation comes through grace by faith in Jesus Christ, period. But the Ten Commandments, the reason they are relevant today, the reason we're talking about them is they are all about living the life God has always wanted for you and me to live, the life Jesus referred to as the abundant life. They are still about living a blessed life. They are love carved in stone. As many Christians today will acknowledge there are 10 commandments, we want to live as though there are only 9 that are relevant for today. I mean, look at this list. Only one God, no idols, don't misuse God's name, we'll skip 4 for now, honor your father and mother, don't murder, no adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet what doesn't belong to you. And we're like, yeah! Most of us would feel guilty if we broke any of these. Some of you have seen a counselor because you have broken one of these. But do any of us ever feel guilty for breaking the fourth commandment, which says, should have another slide there, you must take a day off. No, most of us would agree with a great philosopher, Madonna, who said this, "I'll rest when I'm dead. I'm hungry and life is short." That's like the American way. We're going to work. We're going to get it done. Yet, maybe there's something more. Not only do we not feel guilty for breaking this commandment, some of us even brag about it. We say something like, "Man, I haven't had a day off in like 6 weeks." It's like a badge of honor. Would you say that about adultery? Nervous laughter. Would you say, "Man, I haven't cheated on my wife in 6 weeks"? Well, no, of course not. That's sick. But why is it we're so flippant about this fourth commandment? Maybe, just maybe, many of us are restless because we have ignored God's design for rest. I mean, think about it. Think about how significant it is. We have a God, and when He gave the top 10 commandments, one of them was, "Thou shalt take a day off." If you were coming up with a top 10 list for humanity, would that be one of them? Yet it was so important to God for His people to keep a holy day of rest sacred. It was one of the few commandments, get this, it's one of the few commandments that carried the death penalty with it. Do you know that? Turn to Exodus 31 real quickly, and then we'll come back to Exodus 20. Exodus 31, God has carved His love for His people in stone. He's given Moses the Ten Commandments. And then He goes on to give Moses instructions of building the tabernacle. He gives them many other ordinances and laws and decrees. And He also elaborates on those top 10. So look at Exodus 31, beginning at verse 14. You've probably read through this without seeing it for years. Verse 14, "Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to" who? To you. This is not something God needs. "Observe the holy the Sabbath because it's holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death." "Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people." Verse 15, "For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death." The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. Verse 17, "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." Verse 18, "When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, He gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God." Maybe there is more behind this commandment than we have ever given it credit for. For example, we don't kill people today for not taking a day off. But are you killing yourself? Are you killing your family and other relationships, perhaps even with God? So here's what I want to do today. I want to look through this commandment and get really, really practical. I want to look at what the commandment is, how we're supposed to fulfill this commandment, and thirdly, why we are to keep this commandment. Let's start with what? Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." That's what. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. How do we do that? The word holy means to be set apart or to be uncommon. God is saying every 7 days, one day is to be uncommon, unlike all the rest. Contrary to popular belief, this word Sabbath does not mean seventh. It's a Hebrew word that means to cease, to stop, to rest. Yes, it was the seventh day that God rested. But the Sabbath that He took was the rest that He took. So what is the Sabbath we are to take? He goes on in verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I looked up this word all in the Hebrew. It's amazing. It means all. All the work in 6 days? Are you kidding me? I have more to do. He goes on. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. But remember who it's for. It's for you. The seventh day is a stopping day. And if you missed it, here's what you're supposed to stop. On it, you shall not do any work. Now, because God knows how we think, He knows how much we love loopholes. He goes on and says, let me make it clear who this applies to. He says, neither you, okay? So God, what if I don't check my email that day off, but what if, say, I ask my kids to just check it for me? Would that be okay? And then He says, nor your son or daughter. Okay, so not family. But what about if I hire someone to check it for me? What about people who work for me? I mean, we have stuff going on, and I just need to make sure everything's okay. Then He says, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant. So nobody that works for you. Well, okay, God. Monkeys are pretty smart. How about if I just train a monkey to do that? Would that be okay? And then God says, nor your animals. Boy, is He ahead of us or what? God is so amazing. He knows us so well. He's saying every living thing on earth is to take one day off. But we're not done yet. We're going to try one more time. So what if I get a work permit for someone from another country? They work there 7 days a week. And I don't want to mess up their rhythm. Plus, I'm going to pay them 10 times as much as they make at home. Surely you're okay with that, right? Then He says, nor the alien within your gates. I believe that's the very first employee bill of rights ever written. Now we have to be careful here. People have misinterpreted this commandment for years, for centuries. Interesting fact. In the New Testament, the Pharisees argued with Jesus more about the Sabbath than anything else. Why? Because they misread it. They misread the intent. They started coming up with all these crazy rules. By the time of Christ, the Pharisees had come up with 365 laws just for the Sabbath. How heavy a load you could carry on the Sabbath, how far you could walk, what you could buy, preparing food, and even tending to the sick on the Sabbath. They had laws for every one of them. Now, we don't want to become legalistic about this command. But we also don't want to just give license. And the question is, how do I determine what's what here? What's being legalistic? And what am I giving license to do? That's where we want to spend some time on the why. In the very next verse, verse 11, God gives two reasons why He gave this commandment. And understanding the why will help determine in your own life what the Sabbath, what the rest is all about. One of these reasons is very practical. And one of these reasons is very, very spiritual. I think the spiritual reason is 10 times more important. But we're going to start with the practical because it's important too. Practical, your rest. Look at the very next verse, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But He rested on the 7th day. Was God tired? No, deity doesn't sweat. Then why would God take a day of rest? Why would He need to be refreshed, it said. You ready? It was for you. God knew we needed a day of rest, so He decided to role model it for us. He never says, do as I say, not as I do. Look how Jesus said it in Mark 2. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We're not to be a slave to the rules and all this stuff of the Sabbath day. That day was made for us. A day of rest was made for us. I love that verse. The Sabbath was made for you. God did it for you. God knows you and I need our rest. How many of your children just can't wait each night for you to say, okay, it's bedtime? And when they hear those words, how many of them immediately turn off the games, turn off the computers, stop texting, and tell all their social media friends, hey, I gotta go, it's bedtime? Wouldn't that be nice? How many of them get creative in making excuses of why not to go to bed? And when they finally do go to bed, how many excuses do they give for not staying in bed? I forgot to go to the bathroom. Really? How do you forget to go to the bathroom? You do that at a period in your age where you wear diapers. I forgot to brush my teeth. I forgot I have some homework I haven't finished. Oh, really? I forgot what water tastes like. I need a drink of water. No, what you need is to go to sleep. Now, as parents, why do we want our kids to go to bed and rest? Yeah, because we know if they don't, they're going to be worthless tomorrow. How many of you enjoy the next morning going in and trying to get your kids up? I love the story of this lady who had a teenage boy. She just could not get up in the morning. I mean, she tried everything she could. She was talking to her neighbor lady who had a similar teenager in her home. And she said, well, I don't have any trouble at all. She said, really, what do? She said, oh, I just throw the cat on his bed. Really? And that does it? She said, yeah, the dog sleeps with him. I'd do it, wouldn't it? But that's where some of us are. We feel worthless in so many areas of our life, your work, your marriage, your faith, your personal life. We're just so restless and stressed all the time, tired all the time. I'm sick and tired. Could it be it's because you have ignored this commandment? We all know we should have the oil in our car changed every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, depending on your make, model, and year of car. But you can go 10,000 miles. You can go 30,000 miles. Maybe you'll have to add a quart here or there. And everything seems to work just fine. But internally, your engine is breaking down. And some of you try to operate that way. You can work 7 days a week. Work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You can burn the candle at both ends and you feel fine. But internally, you're breaking down. Your fuse at home is getting shorter and shorter. Your compassion for others at home and work shows less and less. Your desire for the things of God is growing less and less important. Internally, you're breaking down. A very practical principle for our lives. 6 days are for running. The seventh is for rest. That's how God designed us. Then God goes on and He gives us a very spiritual reason. And for me, this is the weightier one. God's blessing. Look how verse 11 says it. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In the Hebrew, the word blessed or blessing means to invoke divine favor or to fill with strength. Isn't that what you want in your life? Don't you want God's divine favor? Don't you want Him to fill you with His strength? God is saying, I bless this day, and if you take this day, you will be blessed as well. But we feel we need that day. We need that day too. And there are two areas of our lives that we express this more than any other. We express it like this. I never feel I have enough. Two areas we never seem to have enough of. I never have enough money. I never have enough time. These two areas are so hard to trust God with. God, I have to work harder to make the money. And so we feel we have to work longer to do it. God is trying to tell us He can do more with you in 6 days than you can do in 7 days without Him. How many of you believe that? See, that's a pretty muffled amen, isn't it? Of course, that begs the question, does the Sabbath have to be Sunday? No, not necessarily. Some of you have to work on Sundays sometimes. I work on Sundays. It's the one day a week I work. So don't bug me tomorrow. My Sabbath, my day of rest, is Friday. It's my day off. Jeff's Sabbath is Thursday. It's day off. I've had people ask me, what do you do on your day off? That's the wrong question. The right question is, what do I not do on my day off? I don't do anything related to how I earn a living. My work here at church. I don't check email. I don't make appointments or have meetings on Fridays. God gave me 6 days for that. I often go out of town on Fridays. Well, what if someone on the staff or leadership or in the church has a heart attack? Do you go to the hospital to see them? Well, of course I do. But that's just loving each other. You do that too, don't you? Sometimes our small group will meet on Friday evening. Do I go? Of course I do. That's not work. That's what I do as part of my spiritual growth. Many of you do the same thing. Some of you are having a hard time trusting God on this one. The key is don't be legalistic, but don't bring your day job into your day off. A study by Stanford University, not a Christian study, it's by from Stanford University, they found that productivity per hour declines sharply when the work week exceeds 50 hours. The study goes on to say productivity drops so much after 55 hours, there's no point in working at all. We weren't designed to work that much. We were designed with a day of rest in mind to refresh, to renew, to catch our breath. We have a modern day example right in front of us today. You know what that is? Chick-fil-A. Who else loves Chick-fil-A like I do? I love Chick-fil-A. Read in the paper this week, what? Coming to Champaign. Come on, brother. Have you gone to Chick-fil-A on a Sunday? Oh. Go to their website and you will find there are two reasons why they are closed on Sundays. One, to give their employees a day of rest. Two, to give them the opportunity to worship. It's right there on their website. Look it up. Now, let me ask you a question. How stupid is that? How stupid is it for a fast food restaurant to close on Sundays? Sunday is the highest grossing day of the week for fast food restaurants. Why, it's a miracle Chick-fil-A can stay in business or make any money at all. I mean, closing on the number one day of the week for your business? But have you seen where Chick-fil-A ranks among all the other fast food restaurants? Using the measurement they use in that industry for success, average sales per store, Chick-fil-A ranks number one. And number two isn't even close. Look at that list. Chick-fil-A, 4.4 million per store. Panera Bread, 2.7. Whataburger. Oh, man, have you ever had a Whataburger? Oklahoma, Texas. Oh, man. I'm getting hungry. McDonald's is fourth. McDonald's is fourth. Half of what Chick-fil-A is doing, followed closely by Culver's. Closed on the number one sales day of the week. How does that happen? I don't know about you. You can come up with a lot of different explanations, but I'm telling you, it's God's blessings. Is that what you're experiencing in your life? Do you feel God's hand of blessing on you? Some of you don't feel very blessed. Not at work. Maybe not in your marriage. Maybe not with your kids. Could it be you've completely ignored this simple principle? The question is, will you trust God? Will you take one day a week and rest from your work? Does that mean doing nothing? No, it doesn't mean sitting on the couch and doing nothing. It means one day a week to spend with God, to spend with your family, to spend resting. Do I do work around the house on Friday, my Sabbath? Yeah, I do. But that's not how I earn my living. I'd starve if I had earned my living fixing things. Mowing, fixing a few things around the house, going to lunch with my wife, maybe even taking a nap. These things are all restful for me. And you need to determine what's restful for you. So here's the takeaway. A 1 month challenge. Now if you're already good at this, if you're already good at keeping your Sabbath, then you keep on keeping on. But if you're treading into uncertain, unknown waters here, would you accept a 1 month challenge to take one day a week for a Sabbath? 1 month to say, God, I want to see if you can do more with me in 6 days than I can do on my own in 7 days. You might be surprised at just how faithful God is. Father God, some of us really need to take another look at this fourth commandment. We have poured so much of ourselves, our resources, our time into not resting that we're going to be like the many who turn around one day and finally have the time to spend with their family, and they'll discover the family's grown up and gone. And now, like us, they're too busy to have time for us. Some of us are literally wearing ourselves out. We need rest. You know that. You've known it all along. So Father, challenge us today with this commandment. Maybe we need to take more seriously our Sabbath and to spend some of that time with You. Spend some of that time with our family and just things we enjoy. Some of that time just resting to be refreshed. It's a great challenge for all of us. But for others, the challenge may be to, let's go back to the beginning and start. Let's trust You with more than just a day of the week. I need to trust You with my salvation. I need to understand that for all the things in this world I can work for, I cannot work for my salvation. I need to understand that for all these things in life that I can do for myself, I cannot do salvation for myself. So help us to learn this morning. Our day of trust is the day of salvation. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus. So, Father, let this be that day. If anyone here today, Father, needs to know You personally, needs to surrender Your life, their life, to You and see what You can do with our lives completely, Father, make it today. There are those that need a good church home, a place where they can come and spend part of a day worshiping You and praising You and putting the thoughts of work and life behind us for the moment and just focus on You. They need a good church home. Ah, we'd love to be that place they call home. Help them to understand, though, Father, MCC is not perfect. And if they are, they better not join here because they'll mess us up. But help them to know we're a church that does welcome and love you and will help you focus on God. Father, there are those who have decisions they need to make, apologies to go home and make to their spouse, their family, of giving so much of themselves elsewhere and not taking just a little bit of time for them. Whatever our decisions are, Father, let Your Spirit move us today because today is that day of salvation. We'll give You the praise and glory. And I know that those who will accept this challenge of just 1 month, just 4 days in a month to really rest, You will be faithful and honor that. I look forward, Father, to You working in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.